Greetings, friends. Today we're going to be talking about the principle of judgment. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 19, and we'll start reading in verse 28. This is Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. Now we're going to be talking about judgment from the standpoint of judgment during the great white throne period of time. And the main point I want you to get is that judgment is a process. Many people have been falsely taught that everyone is being judged right now. Right now meaning from Adam and Eve until Christ's second coming, which is 6,000 years, that is the only time of judgment. Well, that is clearly false from the scriptures, because there's another time of judgment, and when we're talking about judgment, we mean judgment toward salvation or judgment toward condemnation. There's a second time of judgment, which is during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus the Christ, and this is after his second coming. This is when he establishes the kingdom of God here on earth. That's a period of time of judgment, and judgment is an evaluative process. So it takes time to weigh the evidence, to look at people's works, and their works prove their faith or lack thereof. Because if you believe God, you'll obey God. If you disbelieve God, you'll disobey God. And so it's an evaluative process. It takes time watching, searching people's hearts, seeing where they are. But even after that 1,000-year reign of Jesus the Christ, you have the great white throne period of time. And the Bible doesn't tell us how long this period of time is, but that's also a period of judgment. And that's why also in the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, it says that this period of time is called the great white throne period of time, because Jesus the Christ is sitting on this great white throne judging during this period of time, just like he was sitting on the throne along with the saints during the 1,000 years judging people. And so let's turn again to Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And here we're going to see this second period of judgment, which is during the millennium, this 1,000-year reign of Jesus the Christ. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you who have followed me, in the regeneration," and what is the regeneration? In the regeneration, that is talking about the time when God will regenerate the earth. To generate something means to bring it about, to bring life to it. The book of Genesis, that is the book of life, the book of beginnings. So to regenerate something, it means to regenesis it, to bring it back to life. This is also called in other scriptures the time of the restoration of all things. It says that Jesus had to ascend into heaven and wait until the time of the restoration of all things, or some translations say the restitution of all things. This is going to be the period of time when Jesus will return to the earth, establish a Garden of Eden, so to speak, again. And you know that, of course, God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They sinned. God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, which was symbolic of God cutting off humanity from having a relationship with him. And he's only drawn a few people out of the world and chosen them to be a part of the first fruits. Everybody else has been blinded. And God says that he's not going to restore this Garden of Eden fully until, actually, after this 1,000-year reign of Christ and after the great white throne period of time. But this is the beginning of it, when he begins to restore all things back to its original beauty, back to its sinless nature. This is the first time when God himself is attempting to wipe sin out of the world. Before this time, which is when Christ returns, his second coming, at the start of the millennium, before that time, God has allowed sin to rear its ugly head all throughout the world so that we can be so sick of sin that we don't want to sin anymore. But God is allowing sin and all of its fruit to grow so that we just see how nasty it is. Just like Adam and Eve saw how nasty that tree of the knowledge of good and evil was because they saw what happened in their lives, what that fruit bore in their lives. It bore death, it bore disease, it bore despair, it bore destruction, and on and on and on. Well, we're seeing that same thing. God is allowing us to prove that we cannot rule ourselves. And when we have tried everything possible under our own power, and frankly under the power and influence of Satan the devil, who's the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, that after we've had our chance at every conceivable way of ruling ourselves and we see that we're utter failures, then God is going to step in and say, now is time for you to listen to me. And that time is when Christ returns to this earth, his second coming, and he establishes the kingdom of God. And we pray that that will be very soon, in fact, in this generation. So here it's talking about that at the time of the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of glory, so we know for sure that this is when Jesus the Christ returns to this earth, he establishes the kingdom of God, sits on his throne as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. All right, so in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, doing what? Well, if you sit on the throne, that means you're a ruler. And what does a ruler do? A ruler judges people. And that's what it says, that you shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So, again, we have to ask the question, is this period of judgment simply saying, all right, you died, you know, however many millions of people have died ever since there was a nation of Israel up until Christ's second coming? Are we saying that this judgment is, all right, you pass before me, and I'm making a judgment right now, which is really a condemnation, that you're going over here to hellfire based on the works that you did, or a judgment to salvation? Here, you come over here, you have eternal life. No, that's not what it's saying. They're going to be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, meaning there's going to be a period of time, 1,000 years, when they're working with people, and these are actually people who survive the Great Tribulation, the Day of the Lord, the Battle of Armageddon. So when it says you're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel, we're not even talking about people having been resurrected, all the people that died, for instance, back in the time of the judges, or back in Moses' time, or back in the time of whoever else was alive from approximately, I would say, maybe 2,000 years prior to Christ's first coming. So that 2,000 years plus the 2,000 years to Christ's second coming, that would be 4,000 years of Israel being in existence. So we're not even talking about all of those people because they're still dead. We're talking about these apostles judging the 12 tribes of Israel. These will be all of the remnants of the 12 tribes of Israel who survive the Great Tribulation, the Day of the Lord, the Battle of Armageddon. These will be physical people that have survived all of that. These will be people that haven't yet accepted Christ, but also they have not committed the unpardonable sin because they've simply been blinded. And so now is their first chance at salvation. So this is a judgment period of time to see, based on their works, which prove their faith. This is that period of time to say, all right, let me see what you do. Let me see what kind of fruit you produce, and I'll tell you if you will receive salvation. Now, I'm not saying that salvation comes by works. I'm not saying that a person can earn salvation. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what I'm teaching. But what I am teaching is what the book of James says. You say that you have faith? Well, that's cool. I will show you my faith by my works, because faith without works is dead. We're not talking about that kind of false and fake faith. We're talking about the living faith, that kind of faith that shows we believe that God is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we are obeying God because we believe God. We believe that God's way is the best way of life, so we obey God. And it's not that we obey God because we want to earn eternal life. No, because God's gifts are free. But we obey God because we see this is the best way of life. And I want to produce the good fruit. I want to eat of the tree of life instead of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we have to take of that tree of life. So there's some work involved. And this work, it's works of faith. It shows that we have faith because we obey what God is saying. Okay, so this is that period of time when the apostles will be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So now let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to see an example, and then we'll really explore it some more in our next program, but we're just going to read this example. This is an example in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 42, of people, namely people in the time of Jonah. This was in the nation of Nineveh in the time of Jonah, that had an encounter with one of God's prophets, Jonah. And we're going to see what happens here. And then it also talks about the Queen of Sheba who came to visit Solomon. So we're going to have two examples here. And notice what it says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 42. It says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we want to see a sign from you. But the Master, who is Jesus, said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but there shall be no sign given to it except this. It's the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So that's the first part of the sign, is that just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, Jesus the Christ, when he died, he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And by the way, this, again, false pagan idea that's straight from the devil, that Jesus Christ died on Good Friday, and what's so good about him being crucified, but he died on a Friday and was resurrected on a Sunday, that's just a bunch of hogwash. You cannot get 3 days and three nights, 72 hours, into a Friday crucifixion and a Sunday resurrection. So that's all a bunch of hogwash. But the truth of the matter is Jesus the Christ was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and he was actually put into the grave on a Wednesday night and resurrected on a Saturday night, so that when people came to the grave on Sunday morning, he was already risen. But it says here that that's a part of the sign. The other part of the sign actually is that people repented at the preaching of Jonah. But in our next program, we're going to talk about this repenting. The other thing says that the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment because she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. All right, so what is going to be this time of judgment? Well, we're going to cover that in our next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org or call us on 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.